Lou Manfredini here. Do you have cracked or sunken concrete areas around your home? Call PermaSeal for a free estimate. Don't replace it, raise it. Call 800-421-7325 or visit permaseal.net.
Thank you for joining us. We have our attorney chiefs, Chief Bruggeman and Chief Leonis, the president of the ILACP. So thank you, Chief. Thank you, Chief. And you're an officer too, Officer Chief Bruggeman. You were up on the dais last week.
Pretty important.
Yeah. Congratulations to our officers and president of the ILACP who sponsored the show. Also sponsor is me, Team Hochberg. If you're looking to purchase a new home, refinance your existing home, give us a call. We're working with a couple of officers right now. We're waiving all of our origination fees and saving them $1,495 off their closing costs. So love to have the opportunity to earn your business. We have, we're talking school resource officers today, SROs as they're known on the street and in the schools. And I'll throw it over to President of the ILACP, Chief Leonis of Lincolnshire, to start us off, and then I'll throw it over to Chief Bruggeman, and we'll just get rolling. Take it away, Chief.
Okay, well, welcome, SROs and Kirk. Glad to have you on this finally. It's nice that you're able to donate your time. And I also also say that you were an award winner too, sir. You failed to mention that you received the 10 Chaired Principals Award, which was well earned, and it was not only for this type of broadcast that we're doing, but all the other things that you do and helping law enforcement. So hats off to you for that.
Thank you for the award. I appreciate
it. The only compliment you get today, but enjoy that one.
Figured that. Okay.
So I was told it's SROs, and I am only on here as a historian because I was an SRO back in the 1900s, back in the late 90s. I was assigned to the high school. I was the very first SRO assigned, and it was a brand new high school. So we started off with just freshmen and sophomores. There was no tradition, no history, nothing on the walls, no furniture in the dean's office. So we had to have students standing and waiting to be seen. So it was an adventure. So I'll let the SROs take it from here after Kirk make some statements, but I will just say that I think things have changed a little bit. It feels like it. I'm not sure.
How long ago were you an SRO, Chief?
It was 97 through 99. And what was interesting, well, back then in 99, if you recall, Columbine High School out in Colorado became that watershed moment for school safety and mass shootings. There was certainly shootings before that, but that became sort of the biggest one, at least to date. And I will just say from my point of view, because it was April, it's tough to finish school at that point. You know, kids were being pulled out of school by their parents. There was just nervousness, bomb threats, gossip, all that kind of stuff. So it was a nutty time. I don't think it's gotten any easier. So I'm looking forward to seeing what our SROs are going to bring to the table.
And bomb threats have now been reclassified as swatting, right? Isn't that the new buzzword, or is there
not necessarily swatting? Would be close, but swatting is where you're actually simulating or organizing a police response that's non-existent. A bomb threat would be just that, just saying, yeah, "Hey, there's a bomb there." It can be the same, but yeah, swatting is certainly. Although, hopefully, knock on wood, it's calmed down a little bit, but it is part of it.
All right, Chief Bruggeman.
Yeah.
Donald O'Fallon.
Yeah. So I also was a school resource officer in the early 2000s. So about 24 years ago, I was a school resource officer at a junior high. So it was seventh and eighth graders. It was an interesting time. I really, really enjoyed my time as a school resource officer. Learned a lot, met a lot of good contacts, you know, with the schools because we have always been in O'Fallon, and I think really nationwide, you've seen school resource officers all throughout the country for the last 20, 25 years, you know. So for those of you listening that may not have an idea of what a school resource officer is or haven't had a school resource officer, you know, it's essentially a sworn law enforcement officer who is an officer for the jurisdiction in which the school is in, and then they're assigned to that school to work collaboratively with the school administrators and the staff to enhance the safety and security and to keep kids safe, while they're in school. So they're trained in school-based law enforcement and crisis response, and their role doesn't really always have law enforcement duties. A lot of what they do, and I think we'll talk with our school resource officers today, is that most of what they're doing is not police-related issues. It's mentorship, it's education, it's just being there and being around the kids, being that kind of adult figure that the kids can look up to, that the kids can ask questions to. So there's been a little bit of a push, for trying to get police officers out of schools. In some parts of the country,
City of Chicago.
And I'm a huge advocate for having police officers in schools because of all of the stuff that they're going to talk about today: the mentoring, the counseling, the collaboration, the crisis response, just being there. So I'm really excited for these guys to get to tell their story about what they're doing in the schools and kind of their experiences. And I'll share some of my experiences as a junior high SRO 20-something years ago. And I'm sure Joe will have some great stories about his experiences last century. So so we have with me today, I have Officer Jared Krug, who's been an officer with our department, correct me if I'm wrong, about 5 or 6 years now?
Almost 5 years, yes, sir.
Almost 5 years. And he came from down south. He was a lateral transfer, and he is in his first year at OTHS, which is O'Fallon Township High School. So it's a 9th through 12th grade center. Actually, we have two different buildings, a 9th grade building and then a 10th through a 12th grade center in town. And what do we have, about 4,500 students?
I think we're right around 2,600.
I'm sorry. Yeah. 2,600. Way 2,600. Too many. 2,600, yes.
You're thinking of Lincolnshire.
We have 7 million freshman students.
Class of Lincolnshire. Yeah.
So he is the only SRO out there. So, Dave, if you've got any
I'll let Chief Leonis introduce Officer Meade so we could get rolling here, and I'll just start peppering him both with questions.
Yeah, well, this would be great because I don't know Dan Meade, so he'll have to introduce himself.
So my chief, Pat Kreese, I thought was going to be here, but he's not here right now. He must be busy. So I'm Dan Meade. This is my 26th year with the department, 26 and a half. I'm going to retire in 4 weeks. I'm going to be retiring from the police department. It's my fifth year as the SRO. It's only a 4-year assignment, but the school liked me enough where they went to the chief and asked if I could stay one more year, and they allowed it. So I didn't retire last year like I was supposed to in June, and I stayed on one more year.
So what town are you in, and what high school are you the SRO in?
I'm in Vernon Hills, and I'm at the Vernon Hills High School, which is about 1,500 to 1,600 people, not even close to Stevenson, where Chief Leonis is at, with like 5,000.
Right. It's a small junior college for everybody that doesn't know how big Stevenson High School is. It's in It's in Lincolnshire, right?
Yeah.
It's one of the biggest, it's one of the biggest high schools in Illinois, and one of the best high schools nationally ranked on a continual basis for everybody that might not know what Stevenson High School is all about. And it's literally bigger than a lot of junior colleges and a lot of Double A and Triple A colleges, class college. It's a huge campus. It's fascinating. All right, let's get going here. So Officer Krug and Officer Meade, knowing that Chief Leonis and Chief Brogman became chiefs, I know you've got the nuclear clock going, Dan, in 3 weeks, 21 days. And I'm sure you've got the hours and the minutes and the seconds, the nuclear clock's off camera, counting down to the end of the month. But did you ever have, any aspirations and see this as a launching step or, just to add to your resume, to have a different background, to become a chief? I'll throw it to you, Officer Krug.
I did. I remember when I was in high school. I still remember Officer Pop Markov, my SRO in high school. Again, someone you could talk to, someone you could, you know, super friendly, super approachable, and just a genuine guy. And I remember him pretty distinctively. And when I got into law enforcement after the military, I thought that, man, that how cool would that be if I could, you know, get into like an SRO spot. I know it's not the glam and glory of like a patrol officer, or another specialty assignment, but I definitely think there is a spot for law enforcement in schools.
Got it. Officer Mead, I'll since you're on the clock here, I'll take it a different direction. In the 4.5 years, almost 5 years that you've been an SRO, how many students have come up to you to inquire about becoming a law enforcement, to get involved in law enforcement, to be an officer, to get involved with Secret Service or FBI, or show any interest in that while you were patrolling the halls of the mean hallways of Vernon Hill High School out there?
I actually had a student come sit with me for a whole period yesterday, and this is what she is not going to school for, but however, she is very interested. She wants to help the community. I started a law enforcement club here at the high school. So every month I have a meeting where I bring in somebody like the FBI, the DEA, a judge, a coroner. I bring in a different speaker every month to show these kids that there's so many avenues that you can take in law enforcement. You just don't have to be a patrol officer. And so many of these kids are watching movies and TV and they get a false sense of what it's all about. You know, I just want to be a canine officer, or I just want to be a CSI person. So when I get all these speakers to come in, it really helps show them, you know, the different positions that you can hold in law enforcement. And they talk about the routes on how to get there. So since I did that, I started that maybe 3 years ago or 2 years ago or something like that. A lot more interest. When I started here back in 2020, it was during social injustice and COVID. I didn't have one person come up to me in probably 2 years to say, oh, I want to be a policeman. They watch the news every night and see how horrific it was and the things that were thrown at us constantly. So not many kids for the first couple of years, but over the years with these students getting to know me very well, I teach so many classes. I'm teaching two today. I taught two yesterday. And them getting to know me and see me everywhere in the school, I have a lot more people that are interested in what I do.
So when you teach, are you teaching as an SRO or are you teaching as a substitute teacher?
I am teaching as an SRO. When I first started here, I was really, really scared of actually doing public speaking, and I needed to make myself be comfortable being uncomfortable. So I started going into these classes and asking these teachers, hey, do you mind if I come in here and talk about this and that? I needed to change the perception of my profession because we were getting beat up so bad in the news. I wanted to show these kids that, you know, I am not here as this big blue monster that wants to arrest and write tickets. That's not why I'm here. I'm here not only for their safety, but I wanted them to know that the reason I'm here is to teach them life lessons they can take when they leave this school. I'm here to have fun. I'm here to be a mentor and guide them in the right direction. I'm also a school resource officer. So I tell them, use me as a resource. So I can't tell you how many interviews kids do for papers. I've helped kids teach classes. They invite me to all. I just got back from Devil's Lake. They invited me on their outdoor ed trip. So I'm included in so many things here, and it's because the kids want me there, which is fantastic. It shows that I've done a decent enough job that they want the police around. They enjoy my company. So, you know, everything I've been doing up until this point has really worked well.
So while you're doing the class and teaching the class, the vest is on. The walkies on, right? Walkies on, everything. Yeah,
I don't wear a uniform per se, but you know, I do wear my vest. You know, when I first started in this school, and I said I wanted to wear this, the principal had said, you know, no one's ever worn that here. I don't want you to wear it. It might scare some of the kids. And I said, well, if you're not going to let me wear that, I will not work here. Everybody that comes in this school needs to know I'm the police. I'm not security. You know, delivery guy, parent, student, everybody that's here has to know who I am and what I do. And if I don't wear this, and some bad person comes through that front door and takes me out in a second, what am I doing here? So these are the tools of my trade. And unfortunately, if you're scared because I'm wearing this, that's sad. And that's why I'm here, to change that perception so you don't have to be scared. And it also was a great resource of people want to talk to me and engage me. What is this? What is that? Why do you need that? Have you ever used that? So it also helps me in classes because they ask questions. So when I teach classes, I'm like, listen, I don't like to hear myself talk. I bring bags of candy. Everybody who asks a question, I throw a piece of candy to. And it keeps the students engaged with me.
Got it. How is it down in O'Fallon? I can't see your hair color, but I'm assuming that you've got less gray hair on your head.
Oh, I don't have any hair on my head.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
There it is.
I keep in.
Barber.
And you've got a longer atomic clock than Officer Meade, but how do you interact, and what's your interactions as Officer Meade mentioned?
Very similar. I mean, not often seen as, despite the uniform and all the gear that's attached to me, I'm often not seen as a law enforcement officer. Again, you wear the hat of an educator, a mentor. I do a lot of social work. I'm not licensed or anything of that nature, but I have kids come to my office. I keep cold water in my mini fridge and snacks in my office, and I get kids come in there, just want a snack and just talk. I've had, people that are just kids that are having bad days and they just want some more quiet to eat lunch, and they eat lunch in my office. But a lot of like SRO Meade, what SRO Meade said was, I am there to ensure school safety and the safety of the students and staff. However, we're much more than just a badge in a school.
So I'm going to go back to the Chiefs now. Chiefs, hearing these two fine officers talk about their experiences today compared to when, you were pulling over horse and buggies, Joe, in the 90s and giving parking tickets for, the horse pooping in the school parking lot. And Kirk, what's the difference between your experiences and what your SROs are seeing today? I'll go with Joe first. I'll go with this.
As much as things are different, I think they're very similar. When parents send their kids to school, I think, or at least back when I was an SRO, they didn't expect their student, their child, to have interactions with the police. Certainly not a negative. They don't want them to have any fear of arrest or anything like that. They do, though, want them safe. They want them to make sure that the school has safety plans and that they're sending their kid into a safe environment. The threading the needle, the tough part is when you do have a negative interaction, you have a kid that a student who does something that they either are going to get cited for or arrested for or get in trouble for. For us, back when I was there, I was involved in a lot more of the school discipline piece. Not necessarily, I would never administer discipline, but certainly there was interviews going on where we were both doing the same interview at the same time, or the school was doing their interviewing and then turning the kid over to me for the criminal matter. So those things are difficult because, again, parents, when they send their kids off to school, they're not expecting that interaction. So it's very difficult to be on campus. It's great when you're doing all the fun stuff, but the tough stuff, when that happens, you just need to be able to have built up that bank, of goodwill and all that stuff. So that way people know you're there for your entire job. You're not there just as a fluff person. I will say that the Chicago model is maybe a little different too, though. I think they were acting more in a security mode. I don't know if they were even in the buildings or just outside the buildings for security. So I'm not sure how that, I can't speak to that. But the model, I think, for most of the schools is we have two SROs in one school. They're actually, we may be adding a third because of the population. But we also have kids that aren't going home at 3:30. They're staying till 7 o'clock, 7:30, 9. They're coming in early. So it's very similar to a college campus in that they are just, they're in clubs, they're doing things. And again, you need school safety. They have a safety team there and safety security officers. But when I was there, it was just me. There was no other security. There was no cameras you know, like they are now in the building. So it was a little bit of a different approach.
You didn't have to be buzzed in either, right? I mean, it was...
There was no metal detectors, no buzzing in, nothing. People just came in. And we did, you know, we had things going on that needed to be handled, but it was me and a few dean's assistants that were handling them for the most part. And obviously, if you needed officers, you could have them there. But we were not in uniform, didn't wear the vest. You know, they wanted the soft approach, and that was the philosophy of the school. And I do think after Columbine, it really did change. And then all the other stuff, too, to where we're more of a uniform presence today. That's the contrast that I see.
Kirk, what about you?
Yeah, I one of my duties as an SRO was to change out the VHS tapes in the video system that we had back at Fulton Junior High. It was different, but it was really a lot of the same. A lot of what we've done here in O'Fallon, and I'm sure they do throughout the state, is building those relationships with that staff, with that school, with those students. And what these guys said, I'll key in on, is that if you ask anybody, like he remembers, Officer Krug remembers his SRO from high school. These guys get recognized everywhere. Oh, you were my DARE officer. You were my SRO. I was at a restaurant like 2 weeks ago, and this girl walked up to my wife and I and said, did you used to be at Fulton Junior High? And this is 23 years ago. And she's like, I think you were my SRO. And it was just kind of a neat situation. And I remembered her name. I didn't remember her face, but it was like, you make these impacts on these people because you're with them every day. And this was not a bad kid. This was a good kid, you know, and a lot of times you don't have, back then we probably had a little bit more interactions with those kids that were breaking the rules than the kids that were following all the rules. So, we've tried to shift that away. And I think Officer Krug and Officer Mead, are a shining example of doing this the right way, where we are focusing on all the students and focusing on the good things they do, as opposed to them just focusing on all the people that are breaking the rules and the kids that are not doing what they're supposed to be doing, and taking it away from a criminal justice and a policing model to more of a mentoring and a coaching and a counseling and being there. And so that way, you know, 10 years down the road, somebody's going to see Officer Mead at Walmart or Target and say, hey, you were my school resource officer. You were really cool, you know, and those are the things. And I'm sure they have stories of kids all the time. When we post pictures of some of our retirees, the comments on Facebook are like, oh, he was my SRO. He was my SRO. Oh, she was my SRO. She was awesome. She was great. You know, you're getting all that stuff. So it's really satisfying for me as a police leader to kind of see that and to see the impact that they're making on these students' lives. So,
Officer, I'm going to throw it back to Officer Mead. How long have you been an officer, you know, in law enforcement?
28 years. I started as actually a CSO in Vernon Hills for 2 years after I did my internship here. I then went up to Milwaukee Police Department for, I would say, a year and a half. And then back in January 99, Vernon Hills hired me as a policeman here.
So what made you want to go back into the schools as an SRO in the twilight of your career?
Well, I've got to do a lot of stuff. I was a plainclothes TAC officer for years. I got to work undercover narcotics for the State Police Task Force. I got to do that. We didn't have an SRO back in the day when I was in high school. But knowing the SROs that they've had here at this school, being friends with them and working with them, they always said it was the best way to make an impact, and it was the best role that you could have in the police department. And I loved being out on the street and talking to kids. I would always get out of my car, didn't matter if they were teenagers or little kids. And when you arrested drug dealers and did all that, you weren't really making the biggest difference. The next day, there's another dealer on the corner or whatever. This is the place where you can really, really make an impact. And I wanted to do it for years, but my kids were too young where I needed to be there when they got off the bus. My wife works a day shift job. I was working nights, 6 at night to 6 in the morning, so I could be there for them. When they were a little bit older and they didn't need me there, the opportunity came about, and I was like, man, I would love to have this opportunity. It's at the end of my career. I can go in there, make an impact, and have some fun. You know, being a patrolman, 2020 and 19 and all that, when everything was going wrong, was absolutely miserable. I needed a change in my life, and this completely 100% changed my life. And
cool. It's
just fantastic. Best position I've ever had to go out like.
Did you have a chance?
Great.
Did you have a chance to work with Rob Feuerstein in the state drug task force? Good friend of mine. He was one of those guys. First guy through the door. He had a couple of chromosomes missing, but he was, you said the drug task force with the state, and he was on that.
Yeah.
So your paths didn't cross. So I'm gonna throw it over to Officer Krug. What made you want to take this on as part of your professional law enforcement career to be an SRO? Or did Chief Brugman bring it to you first?
No, it was him. He wanted it. Go ahead, dear.
So the position became available to me, or what became available, or the current SRO was about to retire, and she was on her way out, and the opportunity presented itself, and I did have a desire to do it, to become an SRO. I also did it for some kind of, I'll be honest, kind of some selfish reasons, too. I have a daughter, actually two daughters, that currently attend the high school in which I'm the SRO of. But prior to even applying for the position, I talked to them first and asked them how they would feel about, you know, your dad working at the same high school that you guys go to. I don't want to, you know, get into this too much.
Dad.
Right. And both of them, they thought it was a pretty cool idea. So I put in for it. Thankfully, thank you, Chief, for allowing me the opportunity to do it. It's been awesome. I mean, I love it. My oldest, she was the one that had a little more reservation about me doing it. She's a junior this year. And I don't go out of my way to find her, but she goes out of her way to find me. She drops her soccer stuff off in my office, and it smells terrible. She finds me at lunch, and talks to me until her friends get there. And then once her friends get there, then, you know, now I'm old news.
Right.
Being that we have two campuses, my youngest is over at the freshman campus, so I get to bounce over there and pop in her on her lunches sometimes and conversate with her and her friends. And I think my youngest enjoys more of the attention that your dad's, you know, the school cop is what they call it. So I did it for some personal reasons as well as some professional reasons. I really enjoy what I do. I enjoy communicating and interacting with the students. I know it does sound cheesy and it does sound corny, but I do think that if you can make an impact on a handful of students, then you've done your job here. If you interact with them now and create, humanize law enforcement, the less likely you're going to deal with them outside of school. So I think if you interact with them now, the less police interaction they'll have outside of school.
Well said.
These guys, a lot of times people will put in for it because it looks like an easy gig. You know, it's Monday through Friday. You don't have to work weekends. You don't have to work nights. But when they start talking to the school resource officers, and I'm like, because we're putting it out for a second one, and I'm like, hey, this is going to be a straight Monday through Friday gig, but I want you to know what you're getting into, and I want you to talk to Officer Krug, because you really have to be careful on who you select, and, you know, because they have to want it for the right reasons. You can want that nice Monday through Friday thing, but you also have to be able to interact with kids. And I am a big fan of, I got into this when I was 23 years old, and I look back on it and I did a fine job, but I was too young. I was, you know, I was gung ho and I wanted to do everything, and I wanted to be a patrol officer, and I wanted to be in the schools. And I really appreciate having a seasoned officer. Someone who's been there, done that, that's maybe had kids. When I was going through as a school resource officer, I didn't have kids, so I didn't know how to really interact with the kids that well. I mean, I learned really quickly, never get in an argument with a seventh grader. You lose every single time. And I lost several arguments, and I look back, and I'm like, what was I thinking, you know? But that, what these guys can probably talk about is that, you know, when you're a seasoned officer and you look at them, they're, you know, they're even keeled. You know, they don't get excited about things. They're just there and they expect it. And, you know, when you, nobody really wants to hang out with junior high and high school kids all the time, because everybody thinks high school kids are smart alecks and pains in the butt. But with the way that they interact with them, you know, you don't take things personally, and you just sit there and you treat them with respect, and you treat them like adults, like young adults. And when they don't act like young adults, they act like, you know, they don't act appropriately, then they treat them fairly, and they have to do what they have to do. But I think it takes a seasoned officer, someone that's been there, someone that's been through the rigmarole and doesn't get all worked up about that.
So what happens during the summers? Are you guys off during the summers because you're on 5 days a week, or do you get reassigned within how does that work? Right, you guys are on 5 days a week. It's usually, you know, two on, one off, or whatever the schedule is, 3 days, 1 week, 4 days the next week. You know, whatever the schedules are. You guys are on 5 days a week. Holidays, you're off. Vacations, you're off. You get sick days. You know, obviously people are going to get sick. But what about summers? How does that work out? Are you guys off the entire summer, or do you get reassigned?
Well, for us, we get reassigned to patrol. However, because I have enough time on, and since I've been in the school, I've tactically saved my time, and I take the whole summer off.
Yeah.
There's a couple things that, you know, I always work the 4th of July fireworks parade, or the fireworks, and I always work the parade, and then we have a summer celebration that I'll also work. But other than that, I'm off the summer. I'm off. I have a teacher's schedule. I'm off Christmas break and spring break and all that stuff. I save up my time so I can do that. The new guy coming in here with only, he's got, you know, 5 years on here. He's going to be the new SRO. He doesn't have that time saved up like I have. So he's going to have to go back to the road and work and just deal with that. I'm so glad I didn't have to do that.
We're not.
How about that?
We're not mean like that. We don't send him back to the road. We let Krug just relax back in the detective division. He sits at his desk all day, goes out to lunch. All right, what do you do during the summer, Jared?
So over the summer, I got to participate a little bit last year in it, and there's a couple programs that we go deal with the Illinois State Police. They have like a summer camp, and it's like usually a week long. I didn't get to participate in that last year because it interfered with I'm going to say some holiday or vacation or whatever that I had planned already. I'm also involved with a program that's ran by Collinsville Police Department. They head up a program called PAC. It's Police and Children Together. It's a week long summer camp essentially, and there's several different departments in this area that are involved, and we'll get three kids throughout the summer. We'll work with kids between the ages of 9 and 12, usually that are basically, you know, some kids that are in need that may not get to go enjoy fun things over the summer. They're kind of identified by our District 90, their security team, and some of their staff. And then I get three kids, because that's what I can safely fit in my vehicle. I get three kids assigned to me. I go pick them up every morning, take them to breakfast. We go eat breakfast, and then we have a full list of activities scheduled for that day. And last year, it was wonderful. These kids never been to like a bounce house or a trampoline park. They've never been to the St. Louis Cardinals Stadium, the St. Louis Aquarium, the St. Louis Museum, just all kinds of cool things that they get to do. We did a Ninja Warrior course and had one of the participants from the American Ninja Warrior kind of run us through the course, and they got to interact with him. And so it was just really neat experience that I still interact with students and kids, our children, throughout the summer. So I just don't go back there and kick my feet up, although it'd be kind of nice. But I also, you know, try to save a lot of comp time and stuff and spend some time with my kids over the summer. So
yeah, and they're also, you know, they're only off for, they're off for a few months because the school year goes till the end of June and that, or till the end of May, and then they're off for a couple months. But then Jared's getting started right in the beginning of August. These school resource officers are going to all the teachers' meetings that they're going to. They're getting ready with our school crisis plans and different things like that, and training. So one of the big things is, and I'm sure Dan does it as well, that Jared does, is trains all of our staff at all of our schools. So not just our high school, but he helps train our staffs at our elementary schools and private schools in the area on the 4Es, which is the basically the run, hide, fight. Some people call it ALICE. We call it 4Es. You know, all the active killer, active shooter things that he trains all the staff on throughout the year too. So, you know, in addition to all of the mentorship and counseling with the students, there's that whole thing with the staff too, because he's the school resource officer for the staff as well. And I don't know if you guys want to talk about it, but some of those connections that you make with the school staff and the teachers in your community that help out so much in your career and in your personal life and everything like that. I found that really amazing. I still have lifelong friends that were principals and superintendents and have helped me out throughout my career. And then as a chief, you know, still having those connections with those other leaders in the area. So
I will throw it out to Officer Mead first. What type of lasting memories have you developed?
I got to tell you, the staff here I am so close with, and, you know, leaving the police department, you're on an island over here. So you got to find your people. And I have such a good relationship with so many of the staff members that it feels like they're police officers with me. They're my partners. You know, I'm with them every single day through the goods and the bads, you know, and that's the thing I'm going to miss the most is just the people. Not this, not a title. It's the people that I work with on a daily basis. Like, you know, I'm excited, but scared and nervous about retirement. You know, I got a mix of emotions right now just because I know that when I leave here, am I going to see some of these people again? 100%. I will. I'll stay friends with a lot of these people forever, but you guys know life gets in the way and it's not going to ever be the same. You know, I have my routine in the morning and who you talk to and the meetings and all these different things that'll end. And so that's going to be tough because, you know, I love the staff here.
Officer Krug?
With this being my first year, there's a lot of first years for a lot of our admin. We've got a new principal, several new administrators. So we're kind of all learning together. And that's kind of been great, a great experience for me because I came in, I'm like, all these people have done this for a number of years and I'm just going to be the new guy. So it's nice to come in with a bunch of other new faces and we're kind of all just learn to work together. And so that's been wonderful.
Chief, I'm sorry.
All right. We also have a security team. So I am the only SRO. However, we do have a security team. And a good part of our security team is comprised of retired law enforcement. So they have been there. They have done that. So I still have that police interaction, you know, that, you know, people that experience and have been through and done some of the same things that you have done or are currently experiencing. So I do have a really good relationship with a lot of our security team, but I enjoy all of our staff. I think next year is going to be even better because now we've kind of felt everyone out and we know how each other work now. So I think next year is going to be just head and shoulders better than this year.
Chief Leonis, I'm gonna step on the third rail here. Interacting with parents that the SROs have to encounter, because the area that you're in, Lincolnshire, is a very affluent community. The schools, the towns that dump into that feed, dump into his wardrobe, feed Stevenson, Hawthorne Woods, Lincolnshire, Buffalo Grove. So you've got a lot of different feeder schools feeding into Stevenson. How is the interaction with the parents? And how do you, have you ever had any challenges with parents, and how do you handle that?
Well, yeah, and I guess I'd start off by saying these guys are making me feel nostalgic back when I was an SRO, because they're exactly right. It's about the relationships and the kids. And when Kirk was talking, I was a DARE officer, so I saw those kids at fifth grade. I also worked in junior high before the high school, so I saw them in junior high. Then I saw them in high school. I actually, there's a student who became a police officer up in Rockford, who's now a sergeant. I went to her swearing in when she was a sergeant. But the kids I went was at when I was SRO, they're Kirk's age now. You know, they're all old with kids and stuff like that. But I don't think when you get to the question about parents, I would say that our SROs, just like these today, their skill level is so high with dealing with different incidents that we don't get a whole lot of complaints, number one. Number two, we're not involved in any discipline at all. When I mentioned it when I was an SRO, that was just, I think we were figuring out what it was that an SRO did. You know, 20, 25 years later, it's really well defined by law and by code, so you're really not going to be involved in any of those matters that involve school discipline. You're really there, again, as a resource and for safety and all that. But our SROs just have such a skill level of dealing with people in general. And it's your street skills going into an environment where people are generally positive. And kids are, you know, they're all future thinking. They're all thinking about what's next. So that when the parents do get involved, usually we can talk them down from whatever it is that they're, wherever they're at for the most part. But to me, people, regardless of income level or station in life or whatever, I think the most important thing is you treat people fairly, as long as they feel like they're getting a fair shake, and you're not treating them any different because they have money or because they don't have money, and you just treat them like people. They'll go with the program. They understand it. Generally speaking, we don't have a whole lot of crime in the schools in our area. We don't have the, you know, just a criminal element. There's, you know, when I was first here, I went to the drill day. They do all the drills in one day, the fire drill and everything else. And when I saw these kids, I was like, where are the bad kids? These are like, there's none of the kids that when I went to high school, you would recognize, you know, with the leather jackets and stuff. These kids are all like, they're wearing two backpacks. They're all just, yeah, I know, the front and the
T-Bird?
Back.
Are you talking about a T-Bird jacket, like a leather T-Bird?
That's what I would wear, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I had, you know, like rolled up in my sleeve. But these kids are just, they're really focused on academics. And I know we're not really touching on the student stressors, or, but I would say that today, coming out of the pandemic in particular, but also just generally speaking, students in our area are so academically high, they're such high achievers that really a lot of stuff we get involved in is with that type of stressors. When they get bad grades, they don't get into college of their choice or whatever. That's a lot of what's going on today, and I don't know that police aren't necessarily there to address that thing, but where these two SROs probably, they don't even realize the impact that they have, because we often don't. Just being a human being and talking to them as normal. You're not talking academics. You're not talking, you know, anything else. You're just maybe talking sports, or you're talking their interests. Just having an adult in the building that can do that. They're not judging them. They're not grading them. That adds a whole nother level of safety and security. And again, and a resource. And I know that there's, again, maybe controversy about cops in schools, but the dynamic nature of what they deal with on a regular basis, your day is never the same. You know, Dan maybe has a routine, but you know that's interrupted. You know that as much as you want to try to plan, you know that your day is just going to go with the flow. And as Kirk mentioned, the maturity level that's necessary just to deal with administrators, teachers, you know, parents, as you brought up, students, it's everything. It was the hardest working job I ever had, and I did task forces and detectives and all that stuff. But again, one of the most rewarding in my career.
All right, I'm going to throw it to Chief Meade. Sorry for you got a promotion.
You made it.
Pension coming. You made it. 3 weeks to go. So in closing, I'm going to throw it to the Chiefs. You know, what's the with your 4.85 years worth of experience or 9.5 years worth of experience as an SRO? What's the perfect job description for somebody who's an officer thinking about becoming an SRO? In like the top three things that you want them to know with all your vast experience?
Well, the most important thing is you better be personable and be able to build those relationships with the students. That's the most important thing. If you're hiding in an office and not being seen, you're never going to have those relationships and you're never going to be able to make an impact. I make it a point that I'm at those front doors every single morning. So I'm the first person you see when you walk in. And I'm the last person you see when you leave, because I'm at those doors again, saying good morning and fist bumping and high fives, all that stuff. It goes a long way with those kids. And I try to memorize everybody's names because it makes it more personable. So if you're not going to be that type of person, I would say do not apply. You also have to be comfortable getting up in front of a classroom. That was something I was scared of when I first started. I've gotten a lot more comfortable doing that. And when you get up in front of a class and you're vulnerable, to me, that's a strength. You know, it shows these kids you're a human being and you're not just this big, mean guy that wants to write tickets and arrest everybody. That's not why we're here. So looking to do stuff like that and get in front of the class, I think is super important too. And also being able to build relationships with these faculty members. You're part of a team. And as that team, you guys make decisions of what's going to happen with some of these students and safety things and all that too. So you got to be willing to work with people very well.
So, and I'll end it with this. And Officer Krug, thank you for joining us. Your information was valuable. But I'm going to end it with the and thank you, Officer Meade, as well, and congratulations. And you have a wonderful retirement. But in closing, to the two chiefs, when you're looking for an SRO, right? If you were the chief of Vernon Hills, Joe, and you were, and you knew Officer Meade here put in his papers, and this was going to be his last year. And Kirk, when you were interviewing Officer Krug, what were the specifications and strengths that you were looking for when placing, when taking one of your officers off the streets and making him an SRO? I'll throw it to Kirk because Joe just got done talking, and then we'll end it with Chief Leonis. Go ahead, Kirk.
I think number one, they have to want to do it. When you see departments throw somebody into a school to either hide them or to get them off the street, it is the biggest mistake you'll ever make. And that happened years ago where, you had an officer that wasn't performing on the street and they didn't do a whole lot. Well, let's just put them in the school. Let's put them in the school. They can do no harm over there. Well, you can actually do way more harm in the school when you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing and you're not representing your organization well and you're being a slug and you're not doing what Officer Meade and Officer Krug do every day in meeting with these students. And you got to have somebody, like I said earlier, I like to have somebody that's seasoned, somebody that's been there, somebody that's done that, that's not going to get rattled. I want somebody that's going to be tactically sound, because at the end of the day, if anything bad ever happens, that's my first line of defense. And we see this throughout the country where some of these school shootings are stopped by a school resource officer that is on top of things. And the school resource officer is the first person to make contact with that bad guy that's coming in the door. And I don't know how many times they've stopped things because people don't want to come to that building because they've seen them in uniform and they've walked through or they've been a student and they've thought about doing something. And all of a sudden it's like, I'm not going to do that because Officer Meade's going to take care of business. Officer Krug's going to take care of business. So it's that, it's that persona that they have that, they're approachable, but when stuff's going to happen, they're going to take care of things and they're going to keep people safe. And then having that discretion too. We treat We treat all of our students the same way that we treat people on the street. You know, not everything is an arrest. You know, some of these things are handled. Most of the things that they're going to handle that might be criminal, they're going to handle through the school. They're going to divert them away from the criminal justice system and try to have the school handle some of that, so that way they don't have a record. So we give those, we give our SROs a lot of discretion. So, you know, maybe you have some marijuana, or maybe there's a fight or something like that. And, you know, does it rise to a criminal level? Yes, sometimes it would, but is it best to maybe deal with that on a school level with some school discipline and hand that off to the assistant principals? So we give them a lot of discretion, and they got to be smart. They got to know what they can and can't do. And that's what we have. So.
All right, Chief Leonis, you're going through it right now, right? You're considering adding a third because you have Stevenson High School there, 5,000 kids. They start at 7 in the morning with practice, some at 6 in the morning with practices, because you've got Class 8A and they're phenomenal sports, and it's basically a small college there, and they go until 7, 8 o'clock at night with their high school games and their clubs. So what type of specifications and screening are you going through right now, thinking about adding a third SRO to Stevenson High School?
Well, and we're evaluating the need for that, basically, because also the school year, they've added on so much summer school and other activities that the SROs don't get the summer off. Their break in the summer is the same as the winter. It's about 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and they really, and but they've accumulated time off, so they really do need to take it at some point. They can't take it when kids are in session. So I guess what I, when we look at it, and the last one we hired was from internal, but the one before that was an external. We actually made a posting for a lateral transfer just for the SRO, permanently assigned. That's their job as an SRO. To go into the school. So we look for a seasoned SRO that can come in and just do the job. And we may do that again. It just depends on personnel. And again, like Kirk said, you got to want to be in there. I would say, having been an SRO, what you need is decision-making skills. You need to be able to, you know, a school is like a little community. You know, you have the nurses station, that's like your hospital. You have the police station, you have a restaurant, you know, where you're feeding them all. You have the sports and all that. And you can't phone home, you can't call in, you know, you have to be able to make decisions in the moment. You need to be able to gather information, talk to the parents, talk to the teachers, and make a rational choice decision, not always based on what the school wants or indicates or whatever, because as a juvenile officer, you have to make that decision in the best interest of the child and the community in doing both. And so it's really hard to sometimes make everybody happy, but if you make the right decision, you know that that's what your job is. And the seasoned officers know how to do that. If you know how to do an investigation, so if you have investigative skills, so you at least preliminarily see what you have and sort of be a jack of all trades, you're going to be able to do, you have to do it all and on your own many times. So independent thinking, critical thinking skills are probably the biggest asset that you can have going in there. If you have an agenda of you're going to do X, Y, and Z, again, that's probably not for you. You have to be flexible. Kirk mentioned tickets or arrests. I think we maybe had maybe half a dozen tickets written last year. And I don't know the last time we made an arrest. I'd have to check. I don't think we've made one in, if it was this year or last year, I can't tell you. Because we defer, we do court deferrals a lot. We refer to student discipline as the mediation technique. So we're not, it's a completely different approach. And if your type of policing doesn't involve that in your decision-making matrix, then you're probably not suited for the school. You really have to try to get to a good resolution with all those things in mind. And like Kirk pointed out, not everybody's suited for it. Some can be very good on the street, but that skill set doesn't always apply then in the school setting. So it's tough.
I know a guy in Vernon Hills was retiring in 3 weeks. They might have a little bit of experience and might have, you know, some free time to fill in to spare the guys that are currently on the job. Not
this
saying
is kind of, this is a pseudo job interview.
Yeah, I just I just met him about an hour ago, and he seems to be pretty decent at what he does. So you might want to reach out, see if he's got some interest in that job. All right. Well, this has been Officer Krug, Officer Mead. Congratulations on your upcoming retirement, Chief. Ruggleman, Chief Leonis, as always, thank you for being part of this. Sorry for my grimaces. I am on DEFCON 9 with a back throwout yesterday. So if I was making faces, I didn't mean to. But I just want to thank everybody for joining us for this excellent episode of Behind the Badge, Illinois, sponsored by me. If you're looking to purchase a new home, refinance your existing home, give me a call. Thanks again, guys. Be safe. Thanks, boys. We'll talk to you guys later.